Blog Talk Radio.
Friends around the world, and I want to give a big, big shout out. Happy birthday to our brother Greg, who makes our flyers and do all our artwork here at Sold Out Records Radio. Much love to you, man. God bless and enjoy your holiday, and much love to you and Phil, man. God bless you guys. And I got my big brother Phoenix on the line. What's up, Phoenix?
We're all on the groove line, my brother. All on the groove line.
Yeah, that's right. Here we are on the groove line. Man, oh, man. This is it, is the name of the show. And what we are going to talk about today is a very special and intense type of topic. I remember when we decided that's what we were going to talk about. It was so intense yesterday.
Yes,
it was. Whoa, 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 whoa. So I'm going to let Phoenix kind of tell us what that's all about. Phoenix, is on you, bro.
You know, it's an interesting subject again. I always, you know, vacillate back to the present. I think it's always important to look at where we're at before we go or know where we're going. And we're living post-COVID, and we are all concerned about reevaluating ourselves, moving forward in a positive direction, reinventing ourselves, creating new income streams, and helping our families as best we can if we're heads of household. And today's subject empowers us to do so because it's something that perhaps most of our grandparents have used. What doesn't break you will make you stronger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doing a little research, as I usually have the tendency to do, I found out that this expression was in circulation since 1888, so it's not new. Mm. It goes probably before grandma, and it was a French philosopher by the name of Frederick Nietzsche. I hope I'm pronouncing it, Nietzsche. Mm. And it's interesting what he said. You know, we got the weaker and watered down politically correct version, but he said, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And I think sometimes when we go back historically, we think that maybe it was easier back then, but tain't necessarily so. So that's right. Our topic for today. What doesn't make you will break, what doesn't break you will make you. So let's have an open discussion about that. Let's dig deeper into the inner recesses of who we are and pull out those thought-provoking questions. We love the audience's questions. We just live for them. We really do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Phoenix really admires the intellect of the listeners. So since we all on the groove line right here and now on Sold Out Records Radio, I'm excited about being on the groove line here. I want to talk to you about this topic. If it doesn't break you, it will make you. And so let's just hop right into it, okay, with Groove Line in the back here.
And, yes.
Yes. So
nice segue.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking about this, man. You know, so many times, you know, I have been in places and going through different things where I felt the pressure of this is not good. This is not good. And one of the things that I'm so proud of myself for is that I've always wanted to make sure that when I was in a place that wasn't good, I didn't just give in to being in a place that wasn't good. I always believed that I could get to the other side of it. And I don't know why. I mean, you know, some of us are born natural optimists, and some of us are born pessimists, and some of us are just like in the middle, right? I've always been very optimistic. I think that's my whole viewpoint in life, and I just believe that if you believe, it can happen, and I've always been that way. And so, you know, for me, I've been, like I said, I've been there in places where I felt trapped, like, whoa, this is not good. I have to figure this out. And so when you start to think that you have options, then you can start to do what you need to do to make
Absolutely.
The arrangements to get out of a bad situation. But you also have to have patience in it, you know. And because it takes time, because it took you time to get in that bad situation, and it's going to take you time to get out of it. But if you want to do it right, a lot of times people abruptly do things. They jump and hurt themselves.
Knee-jerk responses, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, you and I come from same time frame. And one of the things that when we were coming up, they used to use the expression, your body is a temple. And when you think of your body as a structure, as a building, we are walking testimonies, monuments of our Creator. We're a temple. And in order for a structure to survive, it has to have resiliency. It has to be flexible. If you're rigid, usually a structure breaks. You know, some of the Asian philosophers have used a tree in a strong wind is blown down, but the blades of grass give way or give sway, and they survive the hurricane. So, and part of our body or our structure being resilient is really being flexible, being willing, like you said, not to make a knee-jerk response, but to be flexible or adaptive enough to say, I like how you put it, Wardell, this is not good. Our conscience can say, you know what? I'm swimming in murky waters here. This is not good. And so our first line of defense is to identify it, to become resilient or flexible, and then to adapt to our circumstance, because like you said, it took us a minute to get in there, and it's going to take us a minute to get out. It's like getting in the hot tub. You got to acclimate to the temperature.
Right,
but when
right.
you get out, you got to acclimate to the fact that no longer are you dealing with the water's buoyancy. You're dealing with gravity. And so when you come out of a body of water, your legs feel like lead pipes for a minute because your body
right,
is
right.
transitioning or adapting into the newer environment. So the first thing is to be resilient or flexible, you know, do I recognize this is a problem? And what am I willing to do? Not break, because we said we don't want to break, but we might have to bend a little bit. We might have to give way or sway like the blades of grass and then totally acclimate into the newer environment that we found ourselves in.
Yes. Now, I'm just going to give you a small example. Some of you guys may have heard this story before because, you know, like people that listen, you know, weekly. But my story is this. I remember when I first went to California, 1979, And I went for something that had a big promise. Wow, I can go out to California, and if I make this audition, I'm going to be in Dynasty, and I'm going to travel the world, and I'm going to be famous. I remember, you know, feeling and thinking and hearing, and all I got to do is pass this audition. And so I went to California. It took me 3 days because I went on a bus because I wanted to take my drums with me. And so I went to California, got there 3 or 4 days later, and I ended up in a place downtown L.A., and it was ugly. I was looking for palm trees and all the beautifulness that I heard about California, and I was downtown. You know how some downtowns can be really dark, especially if you go in, you know, in certain spots of downtown, and most big cities have really ugly, you know, places. And so I was really kind of getting a little worried. And so anyway, so I ended up, Leon Silvers ended up picking me up. And so, okay, here's another spark. I felt good. Okay, he's here. And we're going to his place. And so we get to his place. And so it's him, his fiance, and myself in this place. And so he's, you know, talking to me about everything and very nice. And, you know, so we had, you know, a couple of great days and, you know, just, you know, but we hadn't auditioned. I hadn't auditioned yet. And so then there was a lot of stuff going on. This was the time in 1979 when we had gas rationings. And so we only could get gas every other day, like, you know. And so you couldn't, you know, it depends on what your license plate said. So anyway, try to make a long story short. So I would, to get out, because we were kind of like not doing anything, but he was just writing songs. Time was, I wanted to go and get the gas. So I would do anything I could to keep myself occupied. So here, you know, a couple of weeks or so going by, and still no audition. We just, you know, he's working on songs. I'm not sure what the plan is. And then eventually I go over to Mom Spencer's house, Kevin Spencer, the lead singer of Dynasty, and I meet Mom Spencer and fell in love with her, Kevin's mom and dad, and they fell in love with me. And Leon had asked them if it's okay if I could stay there until we, you know, do what we have to do. And so, and they were like, yes, he has his own room. So I was feeling good about that. Now I got my own space and I'm feeling good. So this is a roller coaster ride. And so eventually, you know, I started feeling kind of weird. I was like, man, you know, I'm used to having money. I don't have any money. I'm just here. And I started getting depressed a little bit about this. You know, and so then what happened is he said, okay, we're going to go over to my mom's house and we're going to audition. So we go up to this beautiful estate, and we go in there and we do the audition. And I do everything he asked me to do. And then we leave and we laugh and then talking and everything. And riding down the freeway, all these big giant afros from the Silvers, because all of the Silvers are, you know, hanging out with us. And it was just, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this is going to be something special. I'm hanging out with the Silvers. I see these guys on TV. And now here we are all in the car together, you know, and I had my little afro too. And so we were just having a good time. And so then after that, time started going again. And he never said anything. He just dropped me off at Mom's house and never said anything about the audition or anything. And, you know, okay, man, yeah, I'll talk to you later. Okay, thank you. See you later. Bye. And it was just, that was it. And then I was, like, wondering, like, what did I don't know if I made the audition or if I didn't, because he didn't say. I was almost afraid to ask. And then after a while, just talking to Mom, she was like, well, Wardell, you need to ask. And I was starting to have anxieties. I was starting to feel really weird because I was thinking, I didn't make this. Yeah, I didn't make this thing. I'm really getting depressed. I'm going to have to go. I don't want to go back to Philadelphia because I don't want people to think I'm a loser. So I'm going to, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go into service. I'm just going straight. I didn't know you couldn't. I'm thinking you could just go straight to the service. And so I didn't know. I was only 21 years old. And so I was like, okay, well, so anyway, mom said, you need to call Leon. This is about 2 or 3 weeks later after the audition. You need to call Leon and ask him, you know, if, you know, you made the audition or not, and find out what's going on. And so I was like, okay. So I finally called him, and she said, tell him you don't have any money. You know, so I called him and I said, hey, Leon, I just wanted to know if I made the audition or not. You know, I've been, you know, you never told me. And I said, because if I did make the audition, then, you know, I'm cool. I will just go home. And when you guys are ready, then I'll come back and we can start rehearsing. And he said, no, you can't go anywhere. Everything. Yeah, of course you made the audition. I go, well, you never told me. And I was, he says, well, no, you're cool. You just go on and do what you got to. We're going to the studio to record for the Whispers and Shalimar. And I said, oh, okay. And so I was really, like I said, I was stressed out. I didn't know where I was and why this happened to me, but I was there for almost 2 months, if not more, just waiting for him to say I made the audition, or just even to have the audition. And so 2 or 3 months, it was a long time. And so finally we went in the studio, started recording, but I still didn't have any money because we didn't get paid right away. And so it was getting darker and darker for me, because I was working for my dad, and I was used to having money all the time. And so, but all of a sudden I just endured and I continued to focus. I decided to go to college and do something else with myself while I was waiting for him and for all this to come together, as opposed to allowing the depression to break me. Because the depression can break you if you allow it to. But I was, and you know, to some of you guys, it may sound like that wasn't too bad. But when you're young, you're only 21 years old, and you don't understand what's going on, and you're like 3,000 miles away from all your family. I had no family there in California. I was far away, and new people had just decided to adopt me, which was Kevin Spencer's mom. And I was just, but I was still confused and didn't know. And so for me, it was a dark place in terms of what the outcome is going to be. All I did was steadfast. I set myself up in college, and everything started feeling better. But it was a slow process to get me out of the depression, because I was starting to focus on other things like my education. What classes am I going to take? How am I going to do this? Was it that? And then at the same time, Leon started pulling me more. I need you in the studio, this and that. And so my life started coming together. But I'm just saying to you that I did not allow myself to break, because I was going down. I was getting really depressed. And I remember wanting to smoke marijuana or something, or drink or something, to do something. I was scared of the big drugs. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting listening to your story, because in reviewing my notes, I wrote down there are four qualities that could break you: passion, curiosity, empathy, and gratitude. And I think your story covered the first two very nicely, because your passion, it turns out, is dictating yourself to one goal in your life that can garner great rewards. So the passion, the drive that you had, was fueled by your passion. And then your curiosity was getting the best of you, which was causing your anxiety attacks. And it says the only way that you can hope to expand your knowledge is by asking questions. And as you gauged those questions with a juror of your peers or adults, they said, hey, go ask that question. And then once you did that, you were able to pierce that veil and get on the other side, as you mentioned. And I think that's a tremendous teaching point for our audience, is that here's a real-life situation with a real-life guy with a real-life passion. And you know, just knowing you, I know you're this real cool guy, and maybe there's some guys would have said, hey, man, I would have asked the first date. What's up?
Right,
but
right.
That might have changed the trajectory.
Right,
because
right.
Sometimes people think, I'm going to take the bull by the horns, man. And you know how people always do good
right,
at it,
right,
and they
right.
always know better than you, and they're going to tell you what to do. And you say, you know, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. So I think your situation is an excellent one from the standpoint that you allowed your patience to fuel your passion.
Mm.
You looked at alternative measures. You think in the military. You really had plan Bs and focus. Maybe you didn't know all the ramifications. But you were willing. Your mind was active. You were curious. You were asking the questions that needed to be asked.
Right.
And so, but on the other side of it, as maybe we'll get into, empathy and gratitude. These are the byproducts of one that is willing to go through the process. And isn't that what we're talking about? We're talking about being resilient. You know, something can really overwhelm us, or overtax us. But if we allow it to break us, then game over.
Mm.
Game over. There's no more nothing to pull from it. We allow it to overtake us.
Yes.
Good story.
Well, you know, I want you to talk about what you want to talk about in regards to those other aspects. But I want us to also remember that we have to be aware of expectation. You know, you set up expectations. If they don't happen the way that you expect them to, man, oh man, sometimes we can't handle that because we set up an expectation, but it had nothing to do with that was your plan, not God's plan. And we you know, and so our plans, it's nice to have a plan, but if it doesn't work out the way that you expect it to, don't be so hard on yourself. You have to keep seeing it through. And see, my expectation was that when I got out there, I'm around all these stars. My whole life is going to change, and it's going to be a wonderful world. Everything is going to be great. But I had to be patient in the storm. And I had to trust that I was there for a reason, even though then I didn't know what I was doing. I was just being patient. I wasn't wise enough to know all that other stuff. And I did call my father. I did call my father in the midst of it, and he gave me some advice. And the song came on after I talked to my dad. It was "This Is It," the title of this show. This is it. Make no mistake. This is it. The waiting is over. In other words, this is what my dream was, and this is what I asked for. My expectation of it didn't quite happen the way that I expected for it to happen, but I endured it because my dad said, you could always come home. So just hang in there and do what you went there for. You know, and so, and then when, like I said, I got out the phone, "This Is It" was on, and that was my theme at that time in my life. You know, make no mistake where you are, you know, and so some of us are in situations right now, and we're going through something, and we have to trust our inner spirit. We have to trust that if you are a praying person, that God's got you. He hears you. He knows where you're going. He's taking you there. But iron sharpens iron. And sometimes it's got to get a little heated for you to get to where you're supposed to go. But you have to be patient in the storm so you can get to the other side. You got to get to the other side. The goal is to get to the other side, just like people that are sick and maybe having cancer. You have to think optimistically. You got to get to the other side. You can't let it break you. You need to let it make you stronger. So when you get to the other side, you can be a blessing for someone else that was in your position. You know, that's the goal of life. We're here to learn from each other. and to be a blessing to one another. So, and you know, I'm just saying, you know, if you're in that situation right now where it's, you feel like it's going to break you, don't be in that. Don't allow yourself to be there.
Well, that's why, you know, looking over, having empathy. It says it's important to be able to empathize with other people as you journey through life, and that's a lot about what you've been talking about. Because, you know, when you take, you know, like I've said to people, because it was actually said to me originally, I was talking to an older gentleman years ago, probably 30-plus years ago, and he says, you know what, Phoenix, you have an eye problem. I was like, no, I don't really wear glasses. I only need it, you know, for driving. He said, no, you have an eye problem. I said, yeah, I didn't know where he was going. He said, you know, everything you say is I. And I did this, and I. And he said, you need to say we a little more often, and us, and we're going to, and you and I. And, and so he said, so you won't have an eye problem anymore. And so empathy gives you the ability. It's a tool or a mechanism that allows you to take the I out of the equation and empathize with someone else. Maybe Leon, he had a lot on his plate, and the last thing on his mind was necessarily satisfying your curiosity, because he was like, oh, man, he knows he's good. He's in. You know, but if you didn't take the time, and sometimes, you when you bake a cake, you got to wait for it to rise. Mm-hmm. So your cake was in the oven. He wasn't worrying about it. The pizza was ready, was cooking. So, but to empathize is important, to be able to see the other person's position. And sometimes it takes the sting out of things. You're no longer, it's not all about you. And I think we're unfortunately in a world that promotes a me first attitude kind of thing. And somehow we lose ourselves in ourselves, as opposed to focusing on the bigger picture, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, have you been in a situation that you felt that it was a make you or break you as you were coming up in your life?
All the time, man. I found myself like you. With, you know, I came from a very structured family. I came actually from a rather wealthy family. My dad was a professor. He owned property. I like to identify myself as a son of a landlord. They were all intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, being a Native American.
Mm.
And they were not too forgiving if you – I remember coming home and telling my dad I got an A. He said – you couldn't have gotten an A+. Maybe if you would have put a little more work in there.
Mm.
God, I just told him, man, I got an A. It's not good enough. And right. So I constantly found myself in a situation that I had to reevaluate. Like you say, this is it. Make no mistake where you are. If we're on the Monopoly board, we're out of jail. We collected $200. Go to the Reading Railroad, if you know the references.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes you have to take stock where you're at. And fortunately, my family would probably say I'm an optimistic person to a fault, because I always see the brighter side. You know, if it's raining, I call it liquid sunshine. Mm-hmm. You know, I never let anybody devalue me. I've had situations because of my spiritual inclinations where I wouldn't engage in sex, and people thought, well, this dude is weird. You know, hey, he's, I'm told I'm handsome. What's the problem? Well, maybe he doesn't like women. And then they want to attack you because you stand on a certain platform. But I've learned through the process to stay on track. Don't allow anybody to throw you off your horse or set you off the rails, because then you're not focused anymore. The game is over, and now you're playing their game.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you have to be you, because everybody else is already taken. Be yourself. Know who you are. It's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Stand your ground. I mean, you know, guys, I just want to say thank you.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah. and stay in your lane, man. Oh man, it's really a blessing that, you know, to after, you know, sharing my story, I could feel the pain of some of my brothers and sisters around the world that, you know, may be going through something too, and I just want them to know that, you know, it's all good, and God's got you, and you know, but you have to believe in yourself as well. You have to know that everything is going to be okay at the end of the day. But it starts from within, you know, and you have to believe
in
yourself.
Well, no building is stronger than its foundation. You know, castles made on sand will deteriorate. And
right.
So
it'll collapse.
Inner structure, your inner being is your foundation. In our both cases, I think it was our parentage. Some of us are not as fortunate. Some of us come from single parentage. Some of us come from orphanages. But still, your feet is on solid ground. I think Stevie Wonder said that. So when you wake up in the morning and you swing your legs off the bed and they land on the ground, take stock in the fact that you are where you're at. And if you're fortunate to stand, because some of us are not, some of us are paraplegic, some of us have certain physical restraints or circumstances, but count your blessings. And I'm not here to force my faith on anyone, because I know everybody has a different lens that they look out of, and certain times in your life certain things happen. I wasn't always a spiritual man. At one point I didn't even believe in God. I thought God was my enemy. That was one of the pivotal moments in my life when I lost my grandmother in the 80s. I was like, the preacher kept telling me she's in a better place. Man, I was incensed.
Right.
I was like, who's this guy that took my grandma, man? He's a monster. Because I didn't know any better, and it was okay. I'm sure God was having the angels was cracking up. They said, this guy. I was trying to put up my dukes and fight God, like Job. You know, you remember the passage where the Creator says, he said, gird yourself up, Job. In other words, put your dukes up. You want to fight God? Where were you? Did your voice make it thunder? Where were you when I installed the mountains on their pedestals? That passage in the script always blows my mind, because God has a sense of humor. Don't think he don't. He's cracking up.
Yes.
This little guy wants to duke it out with me? Let me see what you got. What have you done lately? Did you create some mountains this week? You know, what you got?
Right.
And
right.
So God is resilient. He condescends, believe it or not. So no matter where you're at spiritually, and I hope we all get to a place of salvation. That is my genuine hope and desire. But wherever you at, you know, like I love the song, this is it. Make no mistake where you are. We're standing on solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
So pay homage to the floorboards. Pay homage to the relative that looked you in, let you in. Pay homage to your buddy that bought you a Big Mac when you didn't have any loose change. He looked out. They pay homage to the fact that you're still standing. Build upon it.
Yes.
You get on the other side of it. You will.
Yes. You know, I want to go back to an analogy that you made earlier, and that was in regards to the castles built on the sand. And, you know, and then I want to take you guys to Florida when those large buildings building collapsed. It was two of them, actually. And so one collapsed and the other one they just knocked down because they were both built the same way. And we lost a lot of lives in those buildings. That was just the earlier part of this year. Now there were more buildings that are around there that were built the same way, built on the same sandy foundation. And those didn't collapse, so they hadn't collapsed yet. So this is the thing, just think about it logically, that, you know, we may be born in a certain situation where it's kind of sandy, the foundation might not be so strong, things are not so good, and, you know, where we are right now in who in our lives, or you get into a relationship with somebody that's kind of like that, but you, just like those people, that their building hadn't collapsed yet, it was their responsibility to make sure that they get some concrete under that building before it did collapse. So that is the breaking you or making you. And it's really up to you to take that step. You have to. You can't wait on others, because a lot of other people don't care. Unfortunately. They're so caught up in their
or
own world.
Simply not paying attention sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
or they don't know.
They just don't.
Like Leon didn't know what I was going through. Like you mentioned earlier, he didn't know the stress of what I was going through. He thought I was happy and
it
comfortable.
It was all good. It was all good.
Yeah.
Hooked to him.
He got his drummer now. He's good to go. But he didn't tell me he had his drummer. So I was just wondering, like, going crazy. So when you feel like maybe this thing can collapse and this could destroy me, what am I going to do? That's the question. What are you going to do? You got to do something about it. So either you get out of the building or you secure it. But you can't lose your life in the process.
In other words, you have to be
nothing.
Proactive.
Yeah, you got to be proactive.
You have to take an initiative. But, like you mentioned, you always say it as it permeates through all of our conversations. You have to be aware. You know, sometimes we go through life and we fly by the seat of our pants. And it has to do with the fact that we're unaware what we're doing. We're unaware that we're stepping on toes. We're unaware that we're offending people. We're in mixed company and we say something. Maybe we talk about someone shape or size or color or ethnicity, and don't realize that maybe this person is from an interracial marriage. Maybe we're talking to somebody that's dealing with a person in their family that's close to them that has an affirmity. And so we have to be careful that we don't create landmines around us. We have to be aware that we're not a part of the problem. One thing is to deal with the problem, but are you a part of the problem? You know, you may not have started the fire, but did you have gasoline in the back of your trunk unbeknownst? Did you remember that you left it in the tool shed and they said, hey, don't leave that in, you know, these types of chemicals in open air? So are we a part of the problem? And if so, rid ourselves of that baggage or that emotional baggage so we can participate on a more successful basis. You know, we are all a product of our environment. We are a product of what we do as opposed to what we don't do. And sometimes just taking responsibility, I find that's come up a lot in recent conversations that I've been in, that we do things sometimes and we don't take responsibility. We justify it. Oh, that was nothing. Oh, you know what? I was busy. Oh, guess what? But you're accountable. You are accountable for your actions. And so something to think about as we get through these passionate and troubled times, difficult times, really. We want to be truthful about it. These are critical times, hard to deal with.
Yes.
You know, in more ways than one.
Well, you know, there was a story about a great man, great boxer by the name of Muhammad Ali. And in the beginning of his career, I mean, he was knocking people out. He was winning. He was telling everybody what round he was going to, you know, take the person out. And he was doing it, right? But he still wasn't the heavyweight champion. So when he finally got the chance to fight the heavyweight champion, which I believe was Joe Louis, right? That was Joe Louis, I believe. And so he gets in the ring with this guy.
The Brown Bomber.
Yeah, and it was the biggest fight of Muhammad Ali's, because he's about to either become the world champion or not, and everyone had bet it was eight to two that Joe Louis was going to win. Muhammad Ali had no chance of winning. They just knew that he was going to win.
His name was Cassius Clay at the time. He wasn't even Muhammad.
Right, exactly. It's Cassius Clay. So he goes in to this ring, and he's fighting, right? And he knows he, and he's much bigger than people thought he was, you know. And he's moving, and everything is going great. And he's feeling, you know, really good. He said he said he's going to knock him out in the eighth round. It was over. It'd be over in the eighth round. And, you know, that was his prediction. And so they're going through it and everything. And so Joe Lewis has really only gone like 2 to 3 rounds because he knocks everybody. He was knocking everybody out. So Muhammad Ali said, you know what? All I got to do is outlast this guy and I will take him down. And so, you know, because he's never gone that far. He's never gone 15 rounds. Come on, give me a break. So he said he was going to take him out in 8. Anyway, they're fighting and everything. And so, and now Joe Lewis's corner is really getting worried because Muhammad Ali had put a cut on Joe Lewis. And he was, he was bleeding badly, and people and they were frustrated. They're trying to stop him from bleeding, or they didn't want the judge to stop the fight. So they did, and then Joe Lewis had hit Muhammad Ali so hard he didn't think he was going to be able to continue the fight, but he did, and he shook it off. And so as they're like in the 6th or 7th round, this thing is going on, and this is bad. This is looking really bad. So what I mean by it's looking bad is that these guys are just going at it. But you can see Muhammad Ali now is starting to get him. He's starting to get him because he's not used to it. His win is wearing out, and Muhammad Ali is just toying with him, kind of. And so, when Joe Lewis goes back to his corner, they put something on his glove. And so when he punched Muhammad Ali, when they came back out in the 7th ring, and he punched Muhammad Ali, it got in Muhammad Ali's face, in his eyes, and he started screaming. He couldn't see. He was, ah. And then they tried to stop him for a second, but his eyes continued to burn. You know, his team looked at it and they put him back out there anyway, put water in it, and he went back out there and he couldn't hardly see, but he survived the round. Then he sat down and he was screaming, "Take these gloves off. I'm done. I can't do this no more. Take the gloves off. I can't do it anymore." And then Angelo Dundee said, "No, don't take the gloves off." And he cleaned his eyes as best as he could, did everything he could, and then he shoved Muhammad Ali back out there because he believed that he could be okay. He just had to get that stuff out of his eyes. He said, "They put something in his eyes. We got to get it out." And so they got it out, pushed him back out there. And then eventually, halfway through the round, Muhammad Ali started being able to see, and he whooped on on Joe Lewis so bad that in the 8th round, guess what? Joe Lewis said, "I'm not coming back out. I can't do it. It was over." So the thing is that Muhammad Ali was ready to give up. He was, "I'm done. Take these gloves off. It's over. I'm done." But his partner didn't let him. His trainer said, "No, I believe in you. I'm not going to let you quit. You're not going to let this break you. This is what you've been wanting. This is where you are, right where you wanted to be." You talk about a good partner that knows that if he would have listened to you, you would have been so upset later. He says, "I'm going to help you to get through what it is that you're trying to do. I'm going to help you accomplish your goal." And he did, and that was such a wonderful blessing. But you got to be able to go through it to get to it. And sometimes we're going to be in situations where you just want to quit and you want to just give up. But you know what? If you got a good supporting group around you, friends or loved ones, you know, you got to lean on them too. You got to trust them because we need each other. And it's okay to call a brother or a sister, somebody that you can trust, and say, "This is my situation, and I need you. I need you to be there for me. I need you to help me through this." You know, am I doing the right thing? Am I thinking the right thing? Is my strategy off? What is it? What should I quit or should I? Everybody needs a confidant. We all need confidants. We need somebody that loves us despite what we're doing. They just loves us just because of who we are. We all need that kind of a person. And if you have somebody like that, you need to make sure that you're not too shy or uncomfortable with going to them. Just make sure you're not too angry to go to them either. Talk to them before you do something wrong that will break you. You want to make sure that if you're in a tough situation, it makes you. That's the goal. So anyway. I just want you guys to understand it's so important that we pay attention. We really got to pay attention because life can simply break you because it can be so difficult at times. And sometimes we end up in situations that just came out of nowhere. Like, what? What the heck is this about? Why me? We say that all the time. Why me? Why not you? Everybody else is going through the same thing. Other people, you just don't hear about other stuff that other people are going through. Just like they don't hear about everything that you're going through. So don't best not get caught up in the why me, but let's just get caught up in I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let you break me, and I'm going to be okay at the end of the day. So I could be a blessing to somebody else later. And trust me, you'll feel much better. I tell you, it was hard for me. I had a hard time, but, you know, I'm so grateful that my dad said, you know, you can always come home. You can always come home. I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear. I don't know why I didn't think I could always go home. But just hearing it from him saying it, it gave me the confidence that I needed. And so, you know, you guys, whoever this may be for, we want you to know that it's going to be okay. You'll be okay. You can get to the other side of this. We believe in you. You need to believe in you.
Absolutely. And you know, it's great to have support systems. Like mm-hmm. I said, I think you and I had mirrored situations where we had strong foundations, our family, and that's why we talked about castles and sand and those that perhaps may be standing on shaky ground. Maybe they need to do things to fortify their instable or instabilities. Whatever you do, do what you have to do as long as it pleases you in a good way, not because it's for your own selfish inclination. Sometimes people do things and they only see themselves in the equation and they don't mind if they hurt someone. Some people think that's karma. Some people have other ways of underscoring it, but nothing good comes out of doing something that's not good for your own selfish gain. As a spiritual man, I understand that do not do things out of your own selfish gain. And sometimes when you're going through a situation like this, I believe you said, Wardell, you wanted to maybe smoke marijuana. You get in a weakened state because you're almost at your threshold. You're almost at your breaking point.
Yeah.
So you might reach for that drink. You might reach for that drug. You might reach for that so-called person that you thought was a friend that, in fact, doesn't mean you well at all. Maybe might be your mortal enemy. So sometimes, you know, they keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. You don't know sometimes who has your best interest. Sometimes we divulge or share pertinent information with people because we think that they're a listening ear. But sometimes they might be the worst person to share those intimate realities with. And so as we look at the barometer or the pendulum or however you want to depict from being in a stressful situation that's got you at your breaking point, in order to shift the paradigm or to push yourself in the forward motion where you get on the other side of it, you have to be aware, you have to be empathetic, you have to be driven by your passion, you have to understand your foundation, where you're at, where you're going, So it does require, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're talking to someone here that has been through a gamut of things. And, yes, I'm a spiritual person, and I make no bones about it. Sometimes I have to laugh. I say, good one, Satan. Okay, that was a frontal attack. You really came at me strong. Did you think I was going to fall for that? You know, like in Batman, where he says, I've danced with the devil in the pale blue light. You know, Satan will come at you. But those of my friends that have spiritual inclinations know this. If Satan comes after you, it's a good thing. That means he doesn't have you. So keep that in mind as well. We're very attractive people on this earth, and we all have salvageable good qualities. Either we fix ourselves, or God fixes us for us, or we're a victim of circumstance. Take your pick.
Wow. Very good. Well, guys, you know, this is important.
This is it.
this is definitely it. And I just want you to know that those things that I wanted to reach for when I was stressed out, like the alcohol and the marijuana, I mean, the things that I wanted to reach for were going to make my situation worse. They weren't going to help me at all. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I was thinking that's what I want, but that was a trick. That was going to take me to a place where I'm so comfortable that I'm willing to do or say anything.
You know what's interesting, if I may, at this juncture?
Yes.
When the Christ was to be crucified, now let's take it in spiritual for one sec, if you allow me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were advancing. The kiss of death took place. You know, the 30 coins or what have you, and he was given over to be captive. En route for them to hang him on a tree, he was offered an elixir, a druggery. And in other words, they were being empathetic. They said, hey, you know what? You're getting ready to go through this torture right here. Why don't you take this little painkiller? And he put his hand out. He said, no. He realized that in order for him to get on the other side of this, he needed to be in full control of his faculties. Now, those that have spiritual inclinations know that he had the world upon his shoulders. He was the Son of Man. And he had a task to fulfill. But guess what? He was offered a drug. Can you believe that? People think, that's old-fashioned. This is 2021. Man, I don't believe that jazz. No, it's the same as it ever was. He was offered a drug, and he refused. So what do we gather? Even the Son of Man, those who are spiritually inclined, can appreciate that the Son of Man wanted to go through this situation with a clear mind. And you know, it's easy to take an elixir. It's easy to take a drug. Maybe it isn't for you, but in a general sense, and I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, but don't take the easy way out. Don't reach for something that's going to dull your senses. Stay sharp. Stay focused. Stay true to yourself. Count your blessings. Be aware. Pay attention to your surroundings. I have a friend of mine who was a very successful recording artist. I won't mention his name. But one day he confided in me. He came over to the house and he looked around. He said, you know, things, I can talk to you about this stuff because I know you're a spiritual man. I said, yeah, man, you know, spill your guts. Like, what's going on? And to make a quick story short, he said, I was at a club and all these people were around me and he was having second thoughts about his company. I mean, he's a serious hip-hop star. And he said he started thinking about reflecting on some of the conversations him and I had. And he said, you know what? I want to get out of here because he was starting to feel uncomfortable. And this is a true story. He said, as he was starting to leave, the faces of those friends that were around him in the bar, this might scare some, but their faces started to change. He started to see this, like, ugly thing. And he didn't know whether it was drug-related or what. He said, but he tried to get out of there, and they were pulling and tugging on him. And he was scared to death. And when he came to me, he was almost exhausted. He said, I can only talk to you about it because some people are just going to think I'm crazy. And some of his friends went on to be some of the biggest stars in the entertainment industry. But I'm sharing this to say, when you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation, and maybe it's not as dramatic as what I've expressed, get out of there. Your conscience is pricking you. Let your conscience be your guide and change the situation if you can, as soon as you can, because yes. There's something wrong. There's something wrong.
Oh, wow.
Word to the wise is sufficient.
Well, brother, thank you.
I don't know why I wanted to share that all of a sudden. Something inside of me said, share it, go ahead.
Get it out. Get it out.
Get
somebody, somebody needs to hear it, man. And I just want to thank all of you guys so much for being a part of our show. And we love you guys. And thanks, Phoenix, for sharing, you know, your thoughts on this topic, which is very intense, I'm telling you. And I just, you know, for my brothers and sisters around the world, you know, it's all good. And if you need prayer or anything, please feel free to email me at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, and we will pray for you. If you need some advice or something, or whatever the case is, just email us and just put the, you know, go into the subject thing and just, you know, put what it is about, and then, you know, we'll get back to you. Okay.
God bless you. And I might say, you know, along those lines to segue, keep the conversation going. You know, the conversation only lasts, unfortunately, an hour, and it gets good. But continue the conversation with your loved ones, with your friends, with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your significant other. Pass the torch in conversation. Ask the question. Sit back and listen. Like I said, get popcorn and Coke, you know, and listen, because everybody has a story to tell, as you can tell from us. We're no different. Everyone has a story to tell. And the Bible is a story, you know, a true story in my humble opinion. But nonetheless, it's a story that was told. They said the greatest story ever told. And it's there for our examination. It's there for us to pick through the bone to get the meat. It's there for us to extrapolate or to pull down the usable portions to help us along our life's journey. So in conclusion, continue the conversation. Very important. Don't keep it suppressed. Let
That's
it out.
Right.
Get it out.
Very
each one,
good.
Teach one.
Ooh, each one, teach one. That's beautiful. I love it. I think that's great advice. And, you know, guys, every single one of us, we have value. God loves each and every single one of us. And so don't ever feel that, you know, that you're at the point where you're going to let something or someone break you. God loves you, and you can do this. And you'll be just fine. But you have to make sure that you do your best to be your best in the storm. You got to fight through this, and we believe that you will be just fine. But like Phoenix says, keep the conversation going. Talk to someone. Find someone that you could talk to. If you can't, like I said, email us, and we'll chop it up with you. Or if you call into the station, 646-668-8537. Once again, that's 646-668-8537. We will pray with you, okay? So it's all good in the hood. And God bless you guys. And thank you again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. Thanks, Phoenix. And we appreciate you, man, and your wisdom. And, you know, I want to remind everyone that today is our brother Greg's birthday. And so he is in, I think, Scotland right now celebrating his birthday. And so the song that I play Whitney Houston is his favorite. All-time favorite artist. So I'm going to dedicate this next song to him. And like I said, happy birthday, my brother. Enjoy your birthday. You're older than me too, so that's good. That's always good. Anyway, Phoenix, anything else before we hit this button?
No, that's it. Just continue the conversation, friends. We're all in this. Never feel alone. I think that's also a byproduct of your breaking point is when you feel you're all alone, nobody understands. And even when your parents come, you don't understand, you don't know me. And, you know, we say things sometimes that's incorrect. Never feel that you're pressed up against the wall and you're alone. Because just when you least expect it, you got a crowd around you of people that love you, the angels, the creator, all creation, your friends that you don't even know your friends, those who watch you from a distance. And one day they say, you know, you and I went to high school together. You're like, when? I've never seen you in my English class, you in my history class. I always loved you. I always admired you. How many times have we experienced that? So you're never alone. Don't allow yourself to feel like you're alone. There's always someone watching.
Amen. Take care. All right. God bless. Absolutely a beautiful, beautiful song by Maxwell. And, this woman's work. And I, you know, there's so much going on in a lot of different places that we have no idea what people are going through. And that song right there is just a beautiful song in regards to the work that a woman may put in that we have no idea. And so there's other groups that come to mind, like New Birth, that has a song called Wildflower, and it's got that same intensity. It's about let her cry, for she's a lady. Let her dream, for she's a child. Let the rain fall down upon her eyes. She's a sweet and gentle flower growing wild. And I'm going to give you a small, sad example of why those words mean so much. Because just yesterday, or earlier today, I believe it was yesterday, in Pennsylvania, on the commuter train, a woman was raped. The part about it that is so sad, even though this part is disgusting that she got raped, the part is so sad and sick is that no one on the train did anything to protect her. They didn't even call 911. Nothing. Nothing happened. And that's why, sisters, because the devil is busy and he wants to destroy us from the inside out. Man, oh man, what a beautiful, beautiful song that is. This is Wardell Potts, and you're tuning in to Solar Records Radio. I'd like to thank my brother, Phoenix, for the first part of the show. I really appreciate that, my brother. That was good. It was good. We want people to not be broken. We want people to be able to get to the other side of that. If it won't break you, it will make you. And we need you to make sure that it makes you. Because life does what it does, and it just comes after us. And it's not that, it's not about the situation that happens. It's about how we handle the situation when it happens. So keep your focus and do your best and trust your loved ones and your friends. Feel good and comfortable enough to talk to them in a time of need. Just like you're there for them, they would love to be there for you. Don't feel like you're a burden because you got something going on that's bigger than you. You are special. And you are to be loved. So don't worry about it.
thought you could be. Yeah. All across the sky, new mercy fly, and the future's bright. Whoa, this is amazing. Come on. Everything burns.
Thank you. make them come true, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah, yeah. Mr. Dream Merchant, would you please, please do me a favor? You should happen to see my baby somewhere. Would you please tell her I'm waiting with open arms? Would you please make my dreams come true?
Baby, 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 baby.
I need a
Now that's way back there. Man, oh man, I was such a little young guy, and just I remember that song so good, and definitely was looking for a girlfriend. You know how we do, right? Little bad boy, get your butt in the house. Sitting on my steps all night because you like my daughter. And I did. We would sit there on the steps and waiting for Linda and Michelle to come outside. Like all the guys, we all just sitting there because they were cute. We were like sitting there on their steps late at night. And it was summertime, so we didn't have to go in the house early. And I remember when my mom would call me, it probably around 11 o'clock at night. She let me stay out at 11 or something. This summertime, I'm thinking, come on, Mom, we got to stretch this to 12, you know. And so sometimes she would call my sisters first, and then I could hear her, but I was just trying to ignore her. And eventually she would call me in. And I remember I was showing off one night. We were doing gymnastics in front of the girls' house, and we were just having a great time. And I decided I'm going to do this amazing flip. And I did do this amazing flip. But when I came down, my arms gave out, so my face scraped across the ground. And I went and I finished the tumbling, but then I ran around the whole block. So I kept running up the street after my flip, and I ran all the way around the block back up my street to my house, which was at the bottom of the street. The girls lived up at the top of the street, and I went in the house and my face was burning. Oh my God, how embarrassing. Oh man. But, you know, all we do for the girls, man, it starts at a very young age. It starts at a very young age because we want your attention. Ooh, Lord have mercy, can I get your attention? Anyway, guys, so we got about another 23 minutes left in the show. And this is This is not Indie Jazz Day. That's tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to have a beautiful guest on tomorrow. So you have to tune in and hang out with us tomorrow. We're going to have Karen on here tomorrow. So did I say Karen? Nope, that's not who we have on tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, because we had Karen on the week before last. And but I'll tell you in a minute who we're going to have on. Very beautiful. Ooh, she's beautiful. Man, oh man. And Carrie is her name. So you got to tune in and check out Carrie tomorrow. She's as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. And I'm talking about her heart is so good. She's such an intelligent, beautiful sister. And I just enjoy talking to her. She called in a few shows and shared some things. And man, she has she's good people. So you're gonna enjoy her. But today we're mixing it up here on the second half of the show, where we play music from all different genres and just, you know, everything that we do throughout the week. There's Greg. Happy birthday, Greg. I see you, Greg. Happy birthday, man. So happy for you. Miss you desperately, but really happy for you. And wishing you the best, man. Enjoy your birthday trip and try to stay away from us as much as you can, even though we need you. It's like, go have a good time, but don't go too far. Yeah, go have a good time, but can you answer this question? It's like when you're pushing and pulling at the same time. Okay, man, we are walking oxymoron over here. Like, see you later. Hold on 1 second. So anyway, Greg, just ignore all the messages you may have gotten, all right? Just enjoy your birthday, my brother, and God bless you. All right, guys. So anyway, back to Solar Records Radio, back to the music. Thank you.
at you and wonder why would you even wanna stay? When all they do is lie to you, make you cry every other day. Whoa. How many times have you said I'll be damned before I take him back? Yeah. But then you take him back again.
Imagine a new life with me.
Can you imagine?
Just think about how happy you would be.
Happy you would be.
I treat you of his hair.
Every time I hear Larry Graham, I think of Prince. And I know that Larry Graham was Prince's mentor and spiritual leader. And, you know, it's it makes me sad, even though the music makes me glad, makes me happy, makes me feel good. And the legacy that Prince left here. But, you know, he was so young and had so much more to offer. And, oh, man. I tell you, you can't let it break you. Okay? You can't let it break you. It's going to break you or make you. Let's not let the break you be an option. Okay? All right, guys. Well, I thank you so much. And everyone who's tuned in today, what a blessing it was for me. to be here with you. And I just pray that you are good and God protects you and your family. And if you're struggling with the situation, like I said, you can, if you want prayer, call into the station. We'll pray with you. Or if you want to email us, solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. We love you very much. And you're, like I said, every single one of us are important to Christ. Okay? We are all important to God, to the creator of us. So if you feel a little lonely, a little by yourself, you're not. You're not. Okay? God bless you and take care. And know that everything is going to be all right. And I hope you guys enjoyed yourself and had a good show with us. If you came in late, you're welcome to listen. You know, just wait until the show is over, start it all over, and you can hear everything that happened. Once again, I want to wish Greg another wonderful birthday. And he has no internet where he is. He gets it periodically. So, Greg, don't worry about us. We're good, brother. Just enjoy your birthday and your holiday. We'll catch you when you get back. And hey, Astrid, much love to you, sweetheart. Hope you're good and all is well for you. And we love you too. So guys, okay. Oh yeah, and also Astrid, thanks for posting the birthday wish to Greg. That thank you for alerting most of us. And we appreciate you, sweetheart. Thanks for always being on top of your game. Anyway, guys. Well, this is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio. And like I said, I hope you enjoyed yourself the way that we did with this show. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God be with you. God bless you. Take care and good night.
Tell me, are you here alone? Yes, and the rest of our lives will be so good.